Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we are observing the feast day of the Holy Innocents as we follow on with the infant narrative of Matthew's Gospel. I use the term observe rather than celebrate, as the story here becomes very grim. Yet the 12 days of Christmas include several feast days that help define the season. December the 26th was the feast of St. Stephen, the first Christian to die for bearing witness to the one who had come as Emmanuel, God with us. The 27th was the feast of St. John the Apostle, who was exiled and imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos into his old age. And then December 28, or for the Eastern Church the 29th, is the feast of the Holy Innocents, the male children slaughtered by the soldiers of King Herod. And these feast days counter the sentimentality that gets attached to Christmas, though conveniently in the wider society, it is as if Christmas is neatly wrapped up, pun intended, by Christmas night. And the most challenging thing to do after is to recover from the indulgence of overeating and drinking done on that day. To celebrate Christ, who came as the light of the world, is to acknowledge the darkness and the presence of evil that persists. Matthew's story tells us that the Christ child was born into the bedlam, the mayhem, and the madness which characterizes our world. He tells us that our salvation is born in the midst of such times, into the heart of our darkness. And so begins the story of hope. As the story unfolds, it is as if all hell breaks loose. The slaughter of the innocents is part of the story of Bethlehem and the birth of Christ. Such slaughter is horrific, as is the killings of young children we hear about and see on the news. Killings that we are not insulated from, as we see them happening all too often in a Western country like the United States, where children like the children of Bethlehem are killed by military assault weapons, the former by young people, the latter by soldiers who burst in like madmen. Jesus is, for the time being, the child who survived. Whereas Luke tells us there was no room at the inn for Jesus to be born, Matthew tells us there is no safe place for Jesus to live in Judea. The Holy Family escaped to Egypt. Egypt, the country where their people were once enslaved. Now they arrive as refugees, throwing themselves on the country's mercy. A parallel to Jacob and his family fleeing the famine in Canaan back in Genesis. It is a matter of survival. Upon their return, they remove themselves to Nazareth, where they hope to be well out of range of violent rulers and authorities. That is, until Jesus as a man emerges from that remote village, ultimately setting his face towards the very epicenter of the ruling authorities, Jerusalem. In the end, it seems, the Herod got his wish. The last baby of Bethlehem is finally hunted down and killed, and not simply put to death, but executed as a criminal. What a victory for the Herod. In Jesus' time, both after his birth and after his death and resurrection, violence and suffering continues as it has throughout all human history. The cross makes it clear why this suffering continues. It is because God refuses to use violent means to stop the violence that causes suffering. And in fact, this reveals the world's problem. The world resorts all too often to using violent means. The rulers and authorities that Jesus made an example of on the cross are those who are relied upon to use counter-violence against the violence. A king like Herod had soldiers to help keep the peace, to help stop criminals from making victims of the law-abiding citizens. Yet Herod also used those same soldiers to murder the babies of Bethlehem. On the cross, Jesus reveals the flaw to our entire social order. If we ever want the violence to ultimately come to an end, we have to stop using violent means to make an example of this. Violent means to stop the violence. And on the cross, Jesus suffered the violence to make an example of this, that we might one day see the light. When Matthew's story was first told, the Romans, who were of course the real power behind King Herod, had again destroyed the temple and Jerusalem and starved out and killed thousands of Jews, men, women, and children. There is a harsh tone in Matthew's gospel that comes to the surface, not just in this tragic story, but throughout the gospel we become aware of a hard edge. In material that's peculiar to Matthew, Jesus tells sharply worded parables and holds a sword of division that discomforts his hearers, for there is no easy middle ground. But in Matthew, Jesus is not only hard-edged and harsh, he is also the gentlest Jesus we see in any of the Gospels. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There in chapter 11, verses 28-29. With the background of the massacre at Bethlehem, Jesus is still hearing the wails of Rachel and sees the violence of the empire come down upon John the Baptist and then turning its face towards him. In exploring this gospel over the next year, we will wonder at the paradox of the hard edge and the gentleness that characterizes Matthew's Jesus. Neither he nor we live in a peaceful snow globe. We live in a world where children die and parents grieve, not just occasionally, but every day. Not just in hospitals, but on city streets, schoolyards, and even homes. We live in a world where the oppressed suffer and the oppressors get away, literally, with murder. Yet nothing, not even a bottomless pit of grief or the intractable legacy of injustice, shall keep God away from being with us. If Jesus is going to be Emmanuel, God with us, he must be with us where the pain is. And Matthew makes this abundantly clear. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, holy child of Bethlehem, whom Herod sought to kill, we pray for all who live with danger, all who are persecuted. We pray for an end to the violence and injustice that is practiced in the world. And help us to resist any such practice in our daily life. We pray for your protection and your deliverance. Amen.